and you're along for the ride live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Falcons Monday. Countdown to Monday Night Football. We have Monday Night Football here in Atlanta, baby. We are the center of the sporting universe as all eyes will be on the bench tonight. Falcons and Giants in a death game for both teams, and it's Rick Kamla and it's John Chuckery.
First time together.
The maiden voyage.
Yes.
For a couple of guys who like each other a lot, but disagree a lot as well. So it's good to be on the air with you, brother.
Well, if I'm here, you know what that means. Everybody's either dead or on vacation or something. So, I mean, that's what it's got to be.
Man, I hope we can shovel the dirt off of the people you just put 6 feet underground. But John Michaels is off. We hope he's back tomorrow. And send a much love to John Michaels, man. But it's Kamla and Chuckery balling here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As I said on a Falcons Monday, so much football to talk about. We had great kicks. We had bad kicks. We had upsets. We had teams taking care of business on Saturday. When you think about Ohio State losing to Purdue, really a chic upset pick that, bam, actually materialized. And then you had Michigan, I believe, too many parties, too many games. I believe they held Michigan State to under 100 yards in total offense. Am I right about that?
Oh, my God. 94 in the game.
Oh, my God.
The only score Michigan State had was a trick play where, you know, they throw it back to the quarterback for a touchdown.
And they got that on a short field off a Michigan fumble.
Yes.
They ran the Philly special on him.
How glad do you think ABC was that it ended up that Purdue-Ohio State turned out to be? Because, you know, that was a two-touchdown spread in that game, and a lot of people thought Ohio State go in there and blow them out. How happy do you think ABC was that they decided that that's where they were going to have their night broadcast?
I mean, to have a Saturday night broadcast at Purdue was a little weird, but it was also very cool. And I'm not an Ohio State fan. I love cheering against Ohio State. Are you an Ohio State guy?
My
whole
family
is. You're from Ohio.
My family's all Ohio State.
So who's your college allegiance with?
Akron U, of course. That's where I went to school.
The Zips. Yeah. By the way, that was some pee-pee stuff earlier this year.
Well, that's because Nebraska's afraid of us. We understand.
What are you talking about? That was some pee-pee stuff earlier this
exactly.
year. Play the game on Sunday, Akron.
I mean, it was a way for Nebraska to be able to put Bethune-Cookman on their schedule instead of Akron and get themselves a more likely win.
No, see, what they did, John, was they set up Sunday.
What?
They turned the lights on. The cops were going to be there.
No, we don't play on Sundays.
The usher.
That's how we roll.
You don't play on Sunday.
No, that's not how we roll.
We save
Sundays for the NFL. That's not how we roll.
This is such a bunch of crap right here. Are you serious? You're not one of these guys. See, what John and I, we also need to get to know each other a little bit because we don't do radio together. I love Friday night college football. Are you one of these guys, it's getting in the way of high school football and Fridays for high school football, but nobody outside of that region and that little pocket in the country gives a damn?
Why not put
middling Power 5 football on ESPN on Friday night?
I'm surprised that it's the Big Ten that has decided to really take the mantle of Friday night football just because that part of the country, I mean, being from Ohio, I mean, you get Pennsylvania, Ohio, and those states are huge high school football states. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. You got plenty of other nights. I mean,
what other nights?
Thursday night.
Okay, they already have a game on Thursday night.
Should have multiple games on Thursday night.
Why? But
for God's sakes, you had Stanford and Arizona State on Thursday. What the hell is that?
I was watching. Were you watching?
Why aren't we over here at North Avenue with some games?
I don't know. Maybe we get into that in the noon hour. I don't know. But we got a lot to get to, man. Rick Kamla and John Chuckery hanging out here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Preacher Man is out here. Eric Davis is out here running our engineering and making sure everything is all locked up and ready to go. And we say hello to the Preacher Man here on a Monday morning. A Falcons Monday. What's up, Preacher Man?
What's up, gents? How's everybody doing today?
Chilling, man.
You look good.
We got Chuckery, dude.
I'm supposed to be in a blackout, but I have red on because I wasn't given anything today, like the morning show. Apparently, they got jerseys. Blackout jerseys.
Oh.
Did you get blackout jersey?
I've been told that one's on the way.
It's on the way?
So yeah,
you and Chuckery be fitted.
Terry gave me some kind of jersey, but it said janitor on it. I don't know what that meant.
On the front or the back?
Everywhere. It just, yeah.
By the way.
It said Cintas, Janet. I don't know what that thing was, but it, you know.
An early plug for Cintas here.
Well, we used them.
And by the way, I do have to complain about my Golden Gophers a little bit. First of all, the coach running up the field thing. Dude, you're going to pop an Achilles, all right? Stop doing that.
Do you like P.J. Fleck?
I'm not really a fan.
Really?
He's gimmicky. I don't like the gimmicks.
Oh, I love P.J. Fleck.
He's too gimmicky for me. So on the back, it doesn't say Johnson or Williams or Darnell or whatever. It says Minnesota. What are you, the friggin' Naval Academy here? What are you part of the, you know, I don't get that. Put the kid's name on the back of the jersey.
Why do they need it? Penn State doesn't put it on there.
I know, but it's Minnesota. Like, right. If you're super, super traditional, Notre Dame doesn't put the name on the right back of the jersey. You're Minnesota. A lot of these kids are one or two of these kids every 10 years is going to make the NFL. Help the kid out. Help with a little recognition.
You have to start a tradition somewhere. Somewhere you have to start.
Yeah, all these little gimmicky culture pieces. I'm not digging it. I'm digging Mark Owens though. He's back in our Kia studios. Mo, get on the microphone. Tell everybody what's up. How you feeling, man? We're counting down. Well, hold on. We said you can't. You can't look past the bye week. And
we made
did
it past
we do
the
that or not?
We made it past the bye week. No DUIs on a scooter going down a one-way street outside of Toppers. So we're doing good. Made it past the bye week. It is officially hate week. We'll get into it more as the week goes along. But, you know, me and Wendy have the selfie bet. When Georgia beats Florida, Wendy must go a full week with no selfies. Not one. Not one selfie, not one video, not across any social media platform. She did the math and averages. She does 7 a day. If, by God, the planets align and Florida beats Georgia on Saturday, I am required to post 7 selfies a day, which I am not looking forward to. And Wendy is already trying to amend this bet and back out of it, and it's just Monday morning at 9:45 is when she started her plea. So we'll get into this as the week goes along, and that's what's up.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
They use a lot of different fronts, whether it's their base personnel is kind of a 3-4 and sub and nickel defense. They kind of go into a 4-down front and 3rd downs. So they mix up three-down man packages. So they do a lot of different things, shuffle a bunch of different guys. I know with some injuries, they're solid. I mean, they've got some talented players in front four and front 7.
Well, you know what that is? That's our CEO quarterback giving a lot of praise on a defense that hasn't been very good this year. That's what happened there. That's QB speak, John Chuckery. Boy, he went really in-depth, though, didn't he, on all the different looks they can give him. And the bottom line is our guys are putting up 30-plus on this field as we're here at the Benz tonight.
Yeah, if we can't feast on both sides of the line of scrimmage against this team tonight, I don't know when it's going to happen. All right, Giants have just been god-awful, especially on their offensive line. Their offensive line is dreadful. We're going to talk more about the game coming up here soon, but good Lord.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Olivier Vernon just recently came back for the Giants. He makes that defense that Matt Ryan was pumping up that much better. But over the weekend, we got huge news. As Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu were taken off of the injury report, removed entirely, limited in practice, didn't practice much, managing reps. Obviously, they're not 100%, but they will be going tonight. It's colossal. I mean, we made it through last week, John, without Ridley and Sanu with the Hardys and the Russell Gages and the little the hurdle job he had. That might have worked tonight against the Giants, but it might not have worked, you know, to catch lightning in a bottle 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be great to have our full set out there tonight.
You know what it is? This is game two of your playoffs, and I've been saying that you were in a two-game playoff. Tampa Bay starts it, Giants tonight, two-game playoff, get 2 Ws, go into the bye, and then regroup, get healthy. And then we can attack the second. Because second half of the season, you got 6 out of 9 that's on the road after your bye week. So you need to have all hands on deck for a game like this tonight because you're in must-win mode right now.
John and I don't know if you were listening, but, you know, starting with the Tampa Bay game, we looked at a 5-game cluster leading up to the New Orleans game. And they're against, you know, middling to below average teams. Go 4-1 in that stretch. You're 5-5 heading into that New Orleans game. And then it's game on. Now, you got dots to connect in between there, but this is one of them tonight against the Giants. If you think you're a playoff team, you have to win this game
tonight.
When you only have to win this game.
Rick,
there's no excuses.
You only got 3 home games left after this. You have none in the division. You need the conference win. You know, look right now. Falcons are 13th in the NFC in the playoffs. You got to start, you know, 1 week at a time. I know it's cliche, but right now you can't even think 5 games. You got to win tonight. This is playoff mode. That's why those guys have to play tonight. You're in a playoff game, man. Got to win tonight, protect home field, get the conference win, and start to just chip away and move up in the standings.
So we're going to talk more Falcons in our next segment and throughout the show on a Falcons Monday. But how about our Atlanta Hawks? We're the home of the Hawks, of course. And last night, Steve Holman on the call as Trae Young tilted the machine. 35 points, 11 assists. 22 threes a franchise record. And I tweeted out last night, the Rooks deserve most of the credit. Trey had six, Spellman had four, and Herter had three. They had over half of the threes themselves, our three rookies, man. But what a game last night, winning in Cleveland in blowout fashion.
And now the comparisons to Curry have already started because he was the last guy to go for like 35 and 10 as a rookie, and he did it twice that year. So now everybody's on Trey watch to see if he can match that. How about Bazemore, 23 last night for Baze last night? So they still don't play any defense.
Yeah.
But look, if you can win 133-111, whatever. I mean, and the Cavs, how bad are the Cavs, by the way?
I'm glad you went there. Now, let's give the Hawks full credit, but the Cavs suck.
Yeah, they're dreadful.
Okay,
dreadful.
But I mean, you know, but Trey was the guy out there making 25-footers and 28-footers and floating at home over, you know, the giant killers in the lane, Torian Prince. I knew he was going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer this year. Like, knew it. Like, I'm all over him in fantasy basketball. He's having a great year, man. Look, Trae Young put himself on the Rookie of the Year map last night.
Absolutely.
So you're talking about Ayton and Doncic and all these guys. He just went 35-11. Okay, yeah. Here I am. I might be Rookie of the Year all of a sudden. And Torian Prince, and I said this in the offseason, I think he's going to be a candidate for a Most Improved Player of the Year because he's going to take a huge hike in points per game from, like, 12, 13, 14 to, like, 20, 21, 22.
If he does, that would be huge. You sure he's ready for that big step?
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
I think he is.
I'll trust your knowledge.
Buckle up for safety, my friend, because our Hawks are looking good. Like you said, it's at Cleveland. You didn't beat a good team last night.
No, but you win. It's
you
a
win won on the road.
Absolutely.
You won on the road. It's pretty good.
And they all got
look,
a Gatorade
man.
Shower for it. Coach and Trey, everybody got a Gatorade
I know.
Shower
shout out
for.
To Lloyd Pierce, man. First win as an NBA head coach. You know what? Let's try to give away $1,000 right here for Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, now it's time Falcon. To reveal Monday. Our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Harvest. Got anything on Harvest?
Harvest Moon. That was a Neil Young album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You big Neil Young guy?
I mean, he's the godfather of grunge, right? What he is.
I love Neil Young, man. Yeah, Harvest Moon, an old Neil Young album. Harvest is the code word for this hour. You have until 10:59 to text Harvest to 72881. That's 72881. Text Harvest right now on a Falcons Monday, and we're going to try to give you $1,000. So you're going to get a call, pick up the phone, talk to the person, and they'll try to give you a grant. 72881, and it's Harvest right now. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Atlanta United right here at the bench yesterday. That's what's up. They get a win, 2-1 over the Chicago Fire. They get an own goal. For the love of the soccer gods, which is helpful. You think all the goals we've had taken away in here, all the robbery jobs, Geiger, that have happened here for Atlanta United, good to finally get some luck, but they are one win away or a Red Bulls loss away from the supporter shoe.
Problem is Red Bulls have Orlando City, who's dreadful. Now, we're going to play Toronto, and they're out of the playoffs, but it's still Toronto, and they were still the MLS champs last year. They need to find a way to just get the win. I don't care if it's 4-1, 1-0. I don't care how. 0.3-0, I don't care. Find a way because I can't imagine the Red Bulls are not going to win over Orlando.
And we know the World Series. It is what the networks
who you rooting
and
for?
The New
Dodgers?
York offense wanted. Offices
Dodgers,
wanted.
Red Sox?
Dodgers, Red Sox, oh LA, Boston. Kershaw pitched the ninth to close them out. Puig with a huge home run in Game 7.
RBIs.
Really, really cool stuff, man. That's starting tomorrow night. But tonight. Monday Night Football. Falcons and Giants. We are here, Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery on a Falcons Monday, and we get into the keys to the game and a Falcons victory next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The 3-4 stuff in their base package, their nickel package, the different coverages we have to face, so along with the players that make it go. So, and then ultimately bringing all that back to us and what that means for our execution and us doing our jobs really, really well.
Steve Sarkisian, OC for our Atlanta Falcons. We're on a Falcons Monday live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Rick Hamlin and John Chuckery. He is in for John Michaels. Tonight it goes down, baby. 8:15. You're going to hear it here on the home of the Falcons. Falcons and Giants. And, of course, Monday Night Football on ESPN all around the world. All eyes on Atlanta. This is a big day for this city. This is a big day for this stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's a chance, obviously, with the Super Bowl coming up, a good national preview. Everybody take a look. I want to see a big crowd at the very start of the game.
Me too.
I want to see everybody in the
seats. How do we get that done, John?
Well, the good news is it's night, so it's not a 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock starts for us, for this franchise, I should say. Just that vibe doesn't get there early. This should be everybody's getting ready. You know, we're broadcasting all day from parking lots in the stadium or at the AT&T Perch right now. get everybody in here. Get in your seats. Get ready to go. You got no excuses. I mean, even at 8:15, traffic has died down. You can get here. If you come to the game, get in your seat. Let's get loud at the very start. Here's another thing I want to ask you, because this has been bothering me for a little bit with this team. When you're not playing well, you got to try some different things a little bit. You know, play a little bit more with your hair on fire. I wish we'd stop deferring on the opening kick and put the ball in our offense's hands instead of giving the ball to the defense and we're down 7-0 every week. Because that's what it's been every week.
You know, John, and you know this, though. Is some, you know, Bill Belichick always defers to second half.
Paul Johnson's talked about it for 34 years. He's never changed his stance on a call at the start of the game. But my point is, why put your defense on the field for extra snaps? Your offense has got it rolling. Put those guys out there. Wouldn't you rather be up 7-0? I mean, yeah, okay, it's great. We get the ball at the start of the second half. What's that meant for us? That hadn't meant anything. I'd rather have the ball. Let's be up 7-0 instead of I got to put those guys on there, and I'm down 7-0. And then my offense is now playing catch-up the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thought. I don't disagree with you. However, Dan Quinn is one of these guys. He wants the double-up.
Oh, yeah.
He wants the 2-for-1. He wants the ball at the end of the first
half.
How's
that working out?
And I'm just saying, that's what he wants.
I understand.
And so, John, look, we could sit here and try to change things. Oh, for example, could we get back? I mean, and like this year, we've sprinkled in a corner blitz or two. And it's felt good. They got to the quarterback. But it's very few and far between. Mm-hmm. When you watch college football and when you watch pro football and it's 3rd and 9 and you've got, you know, like either a young quarterback or a rickety quarterback like Eli Manning, what do? They bring the frickin' house. And what happens? Quarterback has the ball, backpedal. He either eats it for a sack or he throws the ball away and you get off the field as a defense. So if we're going to try to change things, what I would like to change is more blitzing. Now, and I'm not saying it's not like a regular staple,
right?
But more than we do right now, because DQ likes to play it, you know, with the base set, and, you know, I got four, and they're going to get there. That four might not get there, even against this terrible Giants offensive line.
What do you think the Steelers did to us? They had been dreadful defensively, and you mix some things up. I mean, my point to that is if you don't have the personnel – and you can't just line up one-on-one and go get it done, then do a little bit of hair on fire stuff.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of hair on fire. Play a little bit reckless. Yeah, well, you know, I hear about, well, you know, the risk is, hold on, you got two high-paid corners out there. If those guys are on an island, they're paid to be on an island. Let them go out. Let's play a little bit of hair on fire on defense. I mean, if what you're doing right now isn't stopping anybody, and what scares me tonight, Falcons have given up more catches, more yards to running backs than any team in the NFL this year. See this guy coming on the field tonight?
Beast.
Mm-hmm. And what's he do a lot of? Besides run the football.
Catches
a lot.
7 to 10 balls a game. Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery, he's in for John Michaels. We're at the Benz on a Falcons Monday. Countdown to Monday Night Football. It'll be right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Falcons. Now, if you've got Deion Jones healthy, Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen
sure,
healthy.
That's different.
And you want to continue, you know, to play it traditional, play it safe, rush with four, you've got the back end covered. I still would like you heating up the QB a little bit on third and long scenarios with a blitz, but I get it. But to your point, when you don't have those guys, let's junk it up a little bit. Let's gimmick it up a little bit, okay? Sometimes you got to make – it's like small ball in baseball. Your offense sucks. You get a walk. Get them to second. Maybe get them over to third and then a sack fly or a ground out or something. Just get the run home. Like, to me, it's not creative enough on defense. It's not exotic enough on defense. It's a little bit plain Jane. And to me, dial it up. What do you have to lose, man?
Exactly.
You're 2-4. You're not 4-2.
Well, you're also one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
But
what do you got to lose?
So, I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen tonight, John.
No,
I would say I think we might get one corner blitz throughout the game. That's as spicy and exotic as it's going to get.
I don't disagree with you. I don't. When you're fighting for your playoff life, and I call tonight another playoff game.
No question.
When you're fighting for your life and you're fighting for your season, because you're 2-5 going into the bye week, you can spin it any way that you want. At that point, you're done.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you're done. You're already 13th in the conference.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a lot. It's not just, and I yelled at Fricky about this on Twitter, that,
Falcons are only one win out of the wild.
Okay, that sounds good, except that you've got all the tiebreakers that are you're behind in. you got so many teams that you have to leap. That sixth spot will change nine times, but you have six teams in front of you that you have to get ahead of. You have to start with tonight. And I just want to see a little bit, I don't know, like you said, change it up a little bit. How about a little bit more hair on fire? How about doing something a little bit outside the box? And this is where, and I say this all the time, and this gets people riled up. Monday through Saturday, explicitly trust Dan Quinn, and he's as good as it gets. On Sundays is where I get worried. And I don't think we have an advantage on Sundays. And I know that gets people all, oh, it's been this. I understand that. We don't get enough of an advantage on Sunday. We can out-personnel a ton of teams in the NFL, especially when we're healthy. But when you don't have the personnel, because at this point, your guys have been there for weeks now, right? Yeah, you had Neil, you ain't had all these. It's been weeks. It hadn't been like 1 week.
Yeah.
It's been multiple weeks. When you ain't got that personnel, you got to figure out something else and how to do it. I don't care. And you mix it. I don't care. Take the ball on offense first. Play a little bit more aggressive. Blitz, whatever that is. I don't care what it is. You can call it whatever you want. You want to blitz, whatever you want to call it. But do a little bit more hair on fire. Let's get a little bit outside of our comfort zone in our box instead of kick it to them. I'm down 7-0. We can't stop anybody on an opening drive. And you're like, oh, well, here we are. Mm-hmm. You know, week 7-8 in the NFL, and my hands are up in the air with like, okay, we're just doing the same old thing again.
John Chuckery throwing it down, man, with Rick Campbell here. We're at the Benz on a Falcons Monday. The only three teams worse than our Falcons in the standings in the NFC are the Giants at 1-5, the Cardinals at 1-6, and the 49ers at 1-6. The Cardinals and the 49ers are like the Phoenix Suns last year in the NBA.
Right. They're this year's Browns.
You can use the T word if you want. Yeah. You can go, they suck, and they're going to continue to suck. The Giants suck too. But they still have ambition. They're still trying to quiet the noise up in New York City, just for a minute maybe. And then you have us, Dallas at 3-4, Philly at 3-4. So that's where we're trying to get with a win tonight. I do want to try to get a disagreement with you here. Give me your just top-of-the-head take on Eli Manning.
Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, you can't dumb your way to two Super Bowls.
I'm already disappointed.
You can't dumb your way.
I'm already disappointed.
You can't dumb your
way to
two Super
Bowls. Because I'm an Eli guy. It sounds like you're kind of an Eli guy.
I mean,
are you a respecter of Eli Manning?
Yeah, how can you not respect a guy who's got
There's
two Super Bowls?
There's tons of disrespecters of
He's
Eli
got two
Manning.
Super Bowls.
I work with one every day.
He's got two Super Bowls.
Okay, so
how many guys running around the league right now have two Super Bowls? I don't. And again, you can tell me, well, you know, the defense and this cat. You can't dumb your way to two Super Bowls.
You can't luck your way to two Super Bowls. You can't luck your way to one Super Bowl.
Right. You didn't play Eastern Michigan for the Super Bowl title. Okay?
I mean, or Arkansas.
Would I tell you, would I start my franchise, you know, with Eli Manning as one of the top four or five quarterbacks? Of course not. I'm not telling you he's one of the top four or five quarterbacks. But you can't dumb your way to multiple Super Bowls and – go around the league. There ain't many of those guys in the league right now.
Yeah, I hear you. And I really fear a bounce back from Eli. I fear
If you're a pass
y'all
rush
thought
tonight,
I was dead? Y'all shoveling dirt on me? I'll show you what's up. Because that's what the great ones do. When they're challenged, they dig deep and they make it happen.
Rick, if your pass rush tonight can't feast on this team, he's the fourth most sacked quarterback in the league. If Vic and Tack don't have him on the ground tonight, it won't happen this year. I'm telling you, if 44 – can't get two sacks tonight? When's he going to get me two sacks?
Well,
I need him to go get me two sacks tonight. I need him to get me two sacks tonight.
Dude, John, I hear
44,
you.
44! Get me two sacks tonight!
I think they did hear you. The NFL Network setup down here, the Monday Night Football setup heard you. All right, Mark Owens, here's us back at the Kia Studios. He's reading next.
So apparently you'd be a superstar and a multimillionaire in the NFL. You got to work hard. You got to hustle. You got to be healthy. And you have to avoid water at all costs. It's working for one guy. We'll explain next. Sports Radio 1900.
It's a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Rick Campbell, John Chuckery. He's in for John Michaels. We are at the Benz. That's right, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Site tonight for Monday Night Football. Preacher Man is out here as well. Mark Owens back in our Kia Studios. He's going to read between the lines. M.O., I'm disappointed. I found out Chuckery was doing the show, and I'm like, oh, yeah, sparks flying. Disagreements left and right.
Don't worry.
We're agreeing on way too much stuff, man.
We got plenty of time. Don't worry.
M.O., can you think of something off the top of your dome that would get me and Chuckery barking at each other?
You know what it is? It's like when you're in a relationship and the first couple of weeks are perfect. It's beautiful and it's roses and she doesn't ever have to go number two and she never farts everything and you always are the perfect gentleman. Well, that's what you are in the first hour of this show. You're feeling each other out. Once we turn the clock into the 11 o'clock, that's when you're in about year eight. And then everything is, the dinner's burned, it's not on time, you dress like a slob and your feet stink. So 11 o'clock hour, I think, is when we get
Mark,
the turn.
Mark, as soon as they open up the Jack Daniels stand, that's when it'll start to get really fun.
Listen, Tricky Ricky, let me tell you how I really feel. Listen, I love you, man. Let's hug it out.
Ball round. I don't understand.
Hey, by the way, Hugh gave a lot of us Camu claws. Gave a lot of us some Camu late last week. Thank you, Hugh. I had some over the weekend.
Yes, I did too.
It's delicious.
I was doing day drinking.
I'm not even really a cognac guy, but I was like, Camu for the win. Yep. So shout out to Hugh and everybody over there at Camu Cognac. The game day cognac is what they say, M.O.
All right, so getting ready for Georgia, Florida this weekend. The lines open up. Georgia, 6.5-point favorite down in Jacksonville. Quickly, your thoughts?
Really?
Yeah.
A little high.
Yeah, I agree.
A little high. I feel like that's more three and a half, four.
You better be real careful this weekend, Mark, is all I can tell you.
I agree.
You better be real careful. This weekend.
I agree. We opened up 7-point favorite against LSU. Look how that turned out. Here's Kirby Smart talking about the message to the players during the bye week.
This is your opportunity to leapfrog a guy. This is your opportunity. We're getting three groups of reps. We're getting a lot of reps out there this week to where we can say, okay, how far has Chris Smith come? How far has D'Angelo Gibbs come? How far has Justin Schaefer come? And we're getting a lot of guys' reps to get better. That's how you improve your team. It's how you improve your program from the bottom up. You get tons of reps, and you just get to work. We did that today.
All right, John, let's start.
Can I say this first?
Yeah.
What I said on Saturday, the most tiresome story in college football is the Georgia quarterback deal. There is no controversy in Athens for the quarterback position. Jake Fromm's your starter. He's been one of the most underrated players this year in college football. This idea that Fields needs a start, are you kidding me?
Who's saying that?
Oh, there's plenty of people that go on the message boards, look at the way, well, you know, we only
We
only won by two touchdowns over Missouri. Okay, you went on the road and won by two touchdowns. That's what good teams do, whatever, like this. And everyone's like, well, why didn't Fields play more? Because your coach watches him in practice every day and said, yeah, no, he's not ready for all of that in LSU.
Well, but here's the thing, John. Neither was Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm sucked in the first half against LSU.
Well, you do
he
know,
was a disaster.
Okay, and you do know LSU, if you take the 11 best defensive players in America, two of those guys would start from LSU.
I get it.
40 and 29.
I get it, but here's the
thing.
They're
really good defensively.
They are. But, John.
You see what they did to Nick Fitzgerald on that team on Saturday?
By the way, I foretold that in my pick six on Friday. It's the only pick I got right. Mississippi State's offense, this Joe Moorhead thing, oh, what a play caller he is. He runs read option every play.
Yeah. Because
every single
because
play.
Because Fitzgerald can't throw. He couldn't throw it from me to that bird if he had to.
Yeah, but I mean, run some a jet sweep. Run a reverse. Do something. Anything. Anyway, I'm getting away from the topic here. Georgia. The controversy, John, is not going to Justin Fields earlier in the LSU game. The other controversy is stupidly running it down their throat on drive two and then coming out in drive three and throwing three straight times. So we've talked about that. We talked about this all last week, but I do think, look, in the Tennessee game, needed a little spark. Justin Fields comes in, plays well. I believe they scored a touchdown every time he came into the game. I know Tennessee's different than LSU. It's a different beast. But you got to change it up, man. You can't go 9 straight drives of garbage from Jake Fromm or 8 straight and then go to Fields. You got to go to Fields earlier than that. Emma, what's up?
All right, let's move from college football to the NFL. You probably saw this yesterday. Panthers defensive back Eric Reed and Eagles Malcolm Jenkins are both very vocal in their player protests. But things got a little heated before the game Sunday, both players having to be separated before the game. Now, apparently the bad blood comes from Reed splitting from Jenkins' Players Coalition. The organization sought to have protests during the national anthem stopped if the NFL made donations to causes the group support. Now, Jenkins' group and the NFL agreed to a deal in which the league would donate about $90 million to different organizations supported by the players. Now, Eric Reed was not happy about this deal. He's also not a big fan of Malcolm Jenkins. Here they both are after the game.
You exchanged words with Malcolm Jenkins. Explain what that was about.
No.
Does it have anything to do with the disagreement about the players' goalie?
He's a sellout.
Why do you say that?
Because he's a sellout.
Is that what you told him?
Yes.
I'm not going to get up here and say anything negative about that man. I respect him. I'm glad he has a job. I'm glad he's back in the league. I'll leave it like that.
What was he saying? Is solo?
He called him a sellout.
He's a sellout.
Eric Reed called Malcolm Jenkins a sellout.
Eric Reed called Malcolm Jenkins a sellout?
Yep.
Wow, this is a lot to dissect right here.
Can I tell you that maybe we'll disagree on this? What you heard right there is one of the reasons why he's not in this locker room. That's just not something – that's not the business the Falcons want to be in, is having one of their players making quotes like that in their locker room.
Yeah.
It's just not you could call that Falcon filtering, call it whatever you want. It's just not the business this organization's in.
Did you see the interception that Eric Reed almost had on Philly's final drive? Carolina, by the way, give him credit, man. Unreal comeback yesterday at Philadelphia. Cam Newton was super, super clutch, especially on that 4th-and-2 play where he did a Houdini job. But Eric Reed almost had a like Julian Edelman Super Bowl catch interception. They ruled it incomplete. But here's the thing. Malcolm Jenkins, for whatever reason, like, is aligned with the NFL despite being a protester. Eric Reed, in my opinion, was blackballed by the league. And it took a super desperate team at the safety position to say, all right, screw it. And by the way, a new owner,
right?
Who's not sort of tied to all the tradition all the meetings and all the stuff that Blank has and Jones has and Davis has with Oakland and all that kind of stuff. So this is very, very complicated. I'm happy Eric Reed has a job back in the league. I don't know about Malcolm Jenkins and the sellout comment. I don't know about that.
We can get more into that in the NFL.
Does that bother you?
A little bit later.
It's not a matter of bothering me, but I'm just telling you. That's why he's not in this locker room.
I told everybody, we got to go get Eric Reed. I agree. He'd be great in a Falcons uniform. It ain't happening. It ain't happening.
No.
Okay, the Falcons don't rock that way, M.O.
All right, one more for you. So something you tell your kids or you are always told as a kid when playing sports. Hustle. Let's give it. Give it all. Give it your all. All right. Stay hydrated and healthy. Yes, you would think so, unless you're OBJ. Now, he admitted last week that he's always cramping up, and apparently this NFL superstar is not a big fan of water.
I've always cramped. It's just I feel like I'm working harder than I ever have, so I really don't like water. I'm trying. I really just don't like it. You know, when you get that stomach feeling, it's all slushy. Like, I'm trying to stay hydrated, but, sometimes I just got to get an IV. It's just necessary. You know, you're cramping in both calves. It's hard to run and make cuts, and if you're cramping and dehydrated, you're susceptible to something else. So I'm trying to stay on top of it the best that I can.
Once again, another sign of one of the most selfish athletes that we have ever had in American history.
Now,
doesn't matter if you don't like it. You have to do
absolutely.
It. Okay? Do you think that NFL players at the end of a game want to get in a tub full of ice? Do you think they want to do that? Do you want to get into a tub full of ice ever in your life?
Well, it depends who's in there with me. But,
okay, good point. Yeah. But and ball players have to do it because of the recovery aspect of it. They don't want to do it, though. It's painful, but they have to do it. Odell Beckham, I don't want to drink water. I'm cramping up. Why do you think you're cramping up, idiot? Drink water.
Rick, when I was a kid, I had a different hydration method. I don't know if it worked real well. I ate hot dogs. I don't know if that really helped.
To hydrate. I tell you what, any hydration method possible would help Odell Beckham, but hopefully we're trying him out here. Hopefully he was in Magic City
Julio only had one touchdown combined, so, you know.
Hopefully Julio can change that tonight. John Chuckery is in for John Michaels, and we're hanging and banging at the bins on a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. The Falcons win if. We're going to get into some keys next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Rick and John Chuckery. He's in for John Michaels today, and we are at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Falcons Monday. Countdown to Monday Night Football, baby. Falcons and Giants, can't wait. It's a death game for both teams, and I want you to go to at 92.9 The Game on Twitter. I want you to go to at Rick and John 92.9 on Twitter. Then I want you to go to my personal account and answer the question. The Falcons beat the Giants if ... So go to my personal Twitter and answer that, and I will read some of your tweets on the air here. Falcons
score
fans,
more points than the Giants tonight.
That's a great call, John Chuckery. I'm going to need you to dig a little deeper than that as we analyze here. But here's the deal. We can't take phone – I wanted to take phone calls today. Falcons Monday, huge game tonight. We can't do it because there's a delay and it's funky and it's just a buzzkill. So this is how you get in touch with us, at Rick and John 929 and my personal Twitter account, and complete the sentence. The Falcons beat the Giants if, and throughout the show we're going to be hitting this, and obviously a lot of Falcons-Giants talk. So let's get it started, man. So again, dig a little deeper on this. Okay. The Falcons beat the Giants if.
They sack Eli Manning four times tonight. Sack Eli Manning four times. Make his life miserable. Make them more one-dimensional tonight. I completely trust our offense. There's nothing to not trust, and you don't probably need that many stops tonight. So if you don't need that many stops tonight, give them a few drive enders, and then let your offense do what it's got to do tonight.
Well, I will say this. I 100% agree with you. I've watched a lot of Giants football this year.
Why?
They are – well, I watch all the teams. Oh, it's just what I do. Okay. Fantasy.
I thought you were a masochist or something.
I mean, with some of the football I watch, I'm a masochist. Yeah. Like you mentioned.
Like Minnesota, Nebraska.
Like Stanford, Arizona State late on Thursday night. You're a masochist if you're watching that, but that's what I am. It's what I do. But the Giants are a stall in the red zone team. Their kicker's pretty good, by the way. Rosas is a good kicker. But I've seen a lot more of him than I've seen guys dancing in the end zone for the New York Giants. They do get Ingram back, so he's been hurt. So that, you know, that's a good little pass for him. Barkley's been seeing the end zone. Beckham has one touchdown. I think Sterling Shepard has one, maybe two touchdowns. But they are they're a move the ball between the 20s team, and then they stall out. That's just kind of who they are. Now, they're going to be looking to cash in six instead of three tonight. But that's a read that I've gotten on the Giants. I mean, obviously the Falcons' defense is flimsy at best. And so I'm worried. I'm worried that, like, all of the stuff that's been buzzkilling the Giants all year kind of pops here tonight. And I'm not trying to, like, bum people out. I just break it down. I think we're going to win this football game tonight, but I don't think it's going to be easy, and I don't think it's going to be comfortable.
Eli, six touchdowns, four INTs. He's not doing anything special. What you don't want is you don't want Barkley with 15 catches, 125 yards, and two touchdowns out of that tonight. Make life miserable. Get out to a lead, too. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that, and that's why I was talking about the kickoff stuff. Rick, let's start playing ahead. Let's play ahead and stay ahead. Now, we kind of did that, you know, against Tampa Bay last week and let them kind of come back. But stay out in front in this game tonight. Don't worry about having to try to come back. And that's why I say, get out to 7-0 lead. Keep your foot on the gas pedal, and don't give a team. To me, the Giants at 1-5, I'm not telling you they're ready to pack it in because I don't think Eli lets a team like that. But you don't tell me that they go to 1-6 and they ain't thinking about, okay, where's my summer vacation coming up? 1-6, you're toast. I mean, you're so far toast at that point. I don't care. I mean, the league would have to fold franchises for them to be in at that point. Don't give them any reason to want to hang around and win a game like this tonight.
Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery here on a Falcons Monday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Here's the deal. If Eli Manning super sucks again tonight, he's done. Like, how do you, after what we saw last week from Eli Manning, and if he poops the bed here again tonight on a monster stage on Monday Night Football, and your team falls to 1-6, and the Giants are down with the dregs that are the 49ers and the Cardinals, he's done. You have to make a change at that point.
I don't know if you make a change because they're going to wait till next year. I still don't. I mean, look, I'm not telling
you. No, but I'm saying, like, just Davis Webb, right? He's their backup, and he sucks, by the way.
Which is why they should have drafted quarterback instead of Barkley.
I don't agree with that.
Okay, well.
I don't agree. Who do you think is going to have a better NFL career, Saquon Barkley or Sam Darnold?
Who's going to win more games? That's all I care about.
Well, I mean, I think Saquon Barkley is going to win more games.
You sure about that?
I am.
This group, because if they don't get a quarterback, they're going to win more games.
Well, they're going to get a QB next year.
Who's got more wins, the Jets or Giants?
It's the Jets right now.
Oh, okay.
Who have three? Dude, you can't. I'm talking about the whole career.
Okay. So all you guys that tried to tell me about when I tried to tell you guys that the Browns were going to take quarterback, cornerback in their first two picks, and well, you got to take Barkley. Why? Running backs in today's world aren't going to win you the kind of football games that your quarterback is. They have to go find their next quarterback. Should have done it in this draft. I understand. I don't agree with that. You got to go find your next quarterback, Rick.
But they thought that...
Ask Jacksonville right now what it's like when you don't have a quarterback.
Well, but the Giants were thinking, we'll get our back. He will stabilize everything and balance everything.
Okay. How's that working out for him?
Well, just hold on. And that Eli will now be full Eli. Problem is with that calculation is the offensive line. The offensive line is terrible, and so the whole offense is dilapidating. If they had a good offensive line, I believe that theory and that game plan would have worked.
Okay,
but their offensive line stinks. And Eli Manning's under pressure, and he's rickety and can't move, and now he's ineffective. But if you protect Eli Manning, he will throw the ball all over the yard and light up the scoreboard.
So will every quarterback in the NFL.
Agreed.
If I put Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, you're making my point for me. So if any quarterback with protection can light up the scoreboard, why don't I want a Barkley over a Sam Darnold?
Because it's theoretical to sit there and say, well, all I got to do is just put five Redwoods in front of him. And okay, sure, every team in the league would like to do that, Rick. That's not reality. You know, we thought, what we talk about in the – top five defense and all that for the Falcons? Okay. Guy misses here, guy misses there, and all of a sudden, guess what? Your life changes. What do you think our record would be if you didn't have two right now? What do you think this team would look like if you didn't have number two under center?
Well, they wouldn't have a win.
They'd be minus in wins. Can you be negative?
What's your
wins?
Point? I was having fun. We're debating Barkley and Darnold, and you're hypothetically talking about the Falcons without number two. Why? How'd we get here?
What I'm talking about is quarterback. What I'm talking about is you better have that guy under center. The league revolves around you better have that guy that's under center at that position. It's great to have Barkley. It's great to have Odell. When your quarterback is like 20th in the league in rating and six touchdowns and four INTs, you see what that gets you.
Right, but I would rather have – and again, it was supposed to work, but the O-line is messing all the plans up. But – if I'm a Giants fan, and I'm not, I would much rather have the next 10 to 12 years of Saquon Barkley than the next 10 to 12 years of Sam Darnold because, you know, you had to give Eli one more crack, dude. You had to give him one more crack.
I'm with you
So, okay, if you're going to give him one more crack, then you don't take Sam Darnold.
Doesn't mean you couldn't have drafted a quarterback and have somebody
that gets a year. John, and I know that you know this because you know Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is one of the best, most freakish running backs I have ever seen in my life.
Yep.
He is up there freakish-wise with the Barry Sanders, the Eric Dickersons, the Adrian Petersons.
Is David Johnson a special player?
Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back of all time, in my opinion. Okay, most yards, touchdowns, three championships, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. To me, is he the most talented back ever? No. But he's the most accomplished back ever, and so I give him that dap. Saquon Barkley is more talented than Emmitt Smith.
Would the Cowboys have won three Super Bowls with Quincy Carter as their quarterback?
No.
Okay.
What's your point? You needed the triplets, Aikman, Irvin, and Emmitt. You needed all three of that to make that whole thing happen. And a killer defense. Novacek. Don't forget Novacek.
Yeah, to win that many Super Bowls, I get it. They don't have that guy. My point is, number one, I don't think they're going to pull Eli. Because there's no upside to Davis Webb.
Uh-uh.
He's not your answer. But they still should have drafted a quarterback. And if you drafted a quarterback and said, okay, now at 1-6, let's try a quarterback and let's see. Because you know what usually happens in the NFL?
But if you don't draft Barkley, though, you have no wins.
Okay,
they have one win.
They got one.
No, but I'm just saying,
one.
Barkley has been by far the best New York Giant.
Okay, that's great.
So it was the right pick.
And they're about to be 1-6 after tonight.
I hope you're right. I hope we can finally agree on that on a Falcons Monday.
You wanted sparks, Rick. You wanted sparks.
No, this is great. This is fantastic. Now, we're talking about the Falcons beat the Giants. To me, it all comes down to protection of Matt Ryan. If Matt Ryan can be clean and survey, ball game over. If they heat up Ryan and move him around, make him uncomfortable, God forbid, he throws an interception or something like that, then I think it's game on. But if Matt Ryan can just stand back there and survey, so to me, the offensive line for the Falcons has to have a big night tonight.
I agree with you. I would like to see us run the football, though, too. I mean, that's another thing, too, is get our running game has been, I would say, mediocre, but that might even be, you know, pushing it a little bit. And it's more than just because Freeman. I mean, you have two capable running backs in backup, which that's the other interesting thing. You realize how Tevin Coleman's price is going to go up and up and up and up in free agency with him getting this much run and these many carries.
Yeah, but the production hasn't been there.
Okay.
Like if you're giving me 12 carries and 40 yards with no touches, how's the value going up?
Because somebody in the league is going to say that's an RB1, and Jarrett McKinnon got, what'd he get?
30.
Okay.
One of the worst contracts I've ever seen in my life.
And somebody gave it to him.
Awful.
Didn't they?
They
gave it to him, didn't they? Okay.
There's always one dummy.
You don't think 26 is going to get somebody? They're going to do to him what we did to Michael Turner. They're going to look and say, okay, the upside potential is there. Let's give him RB1 money and see what happens.
I disagree. I think he would get big money. I don't think he would get monster money. I don't think he's that good. Like, Tevin Coleman's a good back. Tevin Coleman is not an $8, $9 million per year back. To me, Tevin Coleman, Carlos Hyde just got $5 million. Duke Johnson just got $5 million. Latavius Murray up in Minnesota, who kicked ass yesterday, got $5 million. Tevin Coleman's a $5 million running back
He'll
in the NFL.
He'll get more than that in the open market.
All right. I would not pay him more than $5 million.
But that sounds good. All it takes is one GM.
You're right.
Somebody will look at him and say, yeah, the potential is there. I understand. And he puts if he strings together a few good games, because he's going to get a ton of run now.
Is he, though? Is he, though?
First of all, Freeman's not coming back this year.
No, he's not, but you got Ito, who's kicking butt. They like him. He's pinching carries
and touches from Tevin.
You're not putting
your offensive fate in a rookie running back right now with this roster.
No. I'm not saying that they're going to tip the backfield upside down and make Ito more important than Tevin. I'm saying that they believe in the two running back approach.
And that is going to
keep Tevin Coleman's numbers down the point where I think it's going to keep his number down in the offseason.
Rick, no running back in this offense is going to go for 32 carries at once. But as a group, they should be in the 30s. I would tell you that you still are probably 70-30 Coleman.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But you combine sort of that math and by the way, in the last game, I thought we ran the ball too much. I mean, we were throwing the ball and shredding that defense at will. And then, you know, first three drives, I believe, I don't have my notes in front of me, weren't the first three drives a touchdown?
To start the game, yeah.
So, and then you started balancing it out with runs, and then you started, getting some stops. But let's give away $1,000. Sound good?
Oh, out of your pocket?
No. Intercom.
It's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Mercy. John Chuckery and Rick Hamill showing no
mercy
on each other right now. And I like it. Mark Owens, by the way, predicted this. He said the sparks are going to start flying
in the 11 o'clock hour.
He really did call that. But text mercy right now to 72881. That's 72881. Text mercy, MERCY. It's the code word for this hour. Trying to give you $1,000. You have until 11:59 to text mercy to 72881. Message data rates may apply. And I encourage you not to text and drive. Are you a texter and driver?
No. And I have the
are you lying? Because you think cops might be listening?
No. I've got the, what do you call it, the Bluetooth thing in the car. So the phone's all hooked up. So, like, calls, and I can even text on the screen and stuff like that if I want to.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, you get that all dialed in, man. Yeah. You guys in your tech. I mean, I'm like a caveman. I got hair on my back. I got saber-toothed tigers trying to rip me to shreds. That's where I'm at with tech.
I would still use an Epson colored printer. I mean, that's my level of technology, so I'm good. No, it wasn't really hard to sync it all up. And then if you just keep pushing enough buttons, I learned you'll get to where you need to get to.
But look, I'm all about Matt Ryan throwing 45 balls tonight. Like, I think it's going to be required.
If he's throwing at 45, it's because they're behind.
Or just in a shootout. Look, I think tonight's a shootout. I think tonight, 34-31.
Can't we just win
30,
one easy?
No,
Win one easy? John, just get one.
John, how long have you lived in Atlanta?
25 years.
Oh my God, I'm 10 years. You're 25 years.
25 years.
Holy crap,
dude! I was here rooting for the Falcons when Harper was playing for the Falcons.
Nice, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But so John, you know how this city rolls. It's never easy.
It's never easy. It's not.
The Cavaliers. It was easy for the Hawks last night. Sorry.
Gave up 111. That's pretty good.
In the games that we really, really want, it's never easy.
No, five of the six of last possession games, right? Pittsburgh game's the only one that was decided early.
Whoever has the ball last tonight, I think, wins the game.
Oh,
I really do.
I hope it's not like
Evan that. Ingram is going to pump life into that Giants offense and just at a terrible time for us. But hopefully we can get the win. And hopefully the Dogs can beat the Gators on Saturday. Early preview of the cocktail party. And what did the Ohio State loss mean for Georgia? Rick Hamla, John Chuckery, live from the Benz on a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Justin's growing. Justin's getting better each and every day. I think his maturity is getting better in the meeting room. He's picking things up. He's developing. He's certainly eager to get that opportunity. And he continues to progress and do things in practice. And his opportunities may present themselves. We're never closing that door completely at all because we got to play the guy who gives the best chance to win.
I mean, that's great to hear from Kirby Smart, but that's not how he coached the LSU game.
Right.
Okay, so like that, those are just words. Blah, 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 blah. Coach speak, coach speak, coach speak. I got media here. I got to say the right thing.
Do you have a Coke bottle Kirby, on the podium?
Look, Kirby, I love you. I do. You're my guy. Come on, dude. Come on. Do you think we're dumb out here? I'm a sports detective. You're not getting that past me. Okay, you may shine that one right by somebody. You're not shining that one by me. I got to call him out on that because had he coached the LSU game that way with that thinking right there, Fields is in the game in the first half. Okay, and you said earlier, Wendy, last week in the bullpen, I was talking with her about Fields and Fromm, and she's like, well, obviously he's not doing well enough in practice. That's the card you played. And that very well may be the case. We don't know that. We're not privy to practice. We're not in Athens watching practice. But the thing is, when you're starting quarterback, and we know that Fromm is the starting quarterback, but you got this guy, it's like in baseball. Your starting pitcher does not go 9 innings. Okay, at some point, you go to the bullpen, and then you get a new arm out there, and then you make it to the end of the game. Kirby has his quarterback scenario set up like that a little bit, but you can bring your starter back into the game, and that's the difference. But he's like, you know, and we'll get him into the game when that time presents itself. Kirby, the time presented itself in the LSU game in the second quarter when you should have gotten Justin Fields in that game, just to change it up.
Here's what you have to be careful of too, though, Rick, is that you have to make sure that Justin Fields can run the whole offense. What you don't want to do with Justin Fields is, oh, well, Justin Fields is in. We're just going to run the football every time. You can't make it where when he comes on the field, you're just a one-dimensional offense.
Agreed.
And he's a gimmick.
Agreed.
When he comes out there.
Has he thrown the ball this year?
What's he got, like 9 passes maybe or something like that? I mean, it's like next to nothing.
Has he looked okay throwing the ball?
How can you tell? With the,
so
who's he throwing?
Exactly.
Against?
So give him a chance. Give him a chance. Jake Fromm missed 7 bad passes on the first 6 drives of the game. He had a bad pass on all 6 of those drives. What more do you need to see?
Don't go
to the bullpen, bro.
Don't you think though that if you really think that if Kirby Smart thought that was his better option, he wouldn't have gone to that.
Oh, I look. I think that it's the loyalty card, Brian Snicker style, a little bit too much on Fromm, and it's an I don't trust Justin Fields. But to me, it's a miscalculation because again, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's what he did with Jake Fromm. Just bring Fields out there. Give the defense something else to look at, and then come back with Fromm. I don't know why he didn't do that, but I gotta call BS on that soundbite. Thank you, Mo, for playing that. Get me fired up here at the Benz on a Falcons Monday.
Wow, you're gonna go out there and start running sprints.
Should we start butting heads like a ram on the top of a mountain? We can do that. Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery. He's looking at me like, do you really mean that? No, I don't.
No, he might though.
I'm feisty though. Early preview of the cocktail party with. Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery in for John Michaels on a Falcons Monday, which is powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. We got all week to break this down, baby. We've really had 2 weeks to break this down. But when we talk Georgia and Florida, what comes to your mind?
Florida, I think, has overachieved a lot. I think there's only 5 teams in America with a better turnover margin than what Florida has right now. They've been a very opportunistic defense. And they found, you know, their identity is run the football on offense. And Dan Mullen has gotten as much out of Felipe Franks. I mean, not that Felipe Franks wasn't a top prospect, but he's gotten a lot out of Felipe Franks, and I don't think a lot of people thought that. Georgia better really be careful. This is one of those games where maybe the LSU, I mean, there's no such thing as a good loss in college football, but, you know, I would be careful on Georgia running. I really think part of it is whatever team really runs the football more effectively in this game Saturday, 2 teams that really want to run the football that and can control the line of scrimmage there, that's who's going to end up winning this thing.
The last 2 competitive games for the Dogs were the at Missouri game and the LSU game. You know, the Tennessee and Vandy pretty much took care of business. In those games, they stunk against the run. Mizzou went for a 170 and 4 rushing touchdowns, and LSU did what they did on the ground. So for that reason, I'm worried about the dogs against against P. Ryan and against Scarlett, who are two very good backs. Now, you may be able to talk about the health of Florida's offensive line better than me, but Florida can run the ball. I've seen them do that this year. That worries me. If they can run the ball on the dogs and keep Froman Fields and that whole group off the field, boy, is that advantage Florida. And you mentioned the turnover defense. They get a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
It's a big play defense that Florida has.
Teams. Yeah, they're one of the – I think they're in the top 20 in sacks per game defensively. But they haven't been a great run-stopping defense either themselves, though. Their strength has been on the back end of their secondary, who's growing up quickly, and all of a sudden you're seeing that next wave of Florida players in the backfield. So I don't expect Georgia – look, this Florida secondary is not what they saw in Baton Rouge. That's a great secondary. I mean, Greedy Williams is as good a defensive back as there is in the country. You don't have two difference makers on Florida's defense the way that Devin White and Greedy Williams are defensively for LSU. Got to get back to your identity. Run the football. Use your running backs. Get back into that kind of game. Grind it down. Grind it out. Florida's doing – I mean, their offense is starting to figure it out, Rick. I mean, you know, 37 against Vandy. Had a real nice game against Tennessee. And I realize the level of competition, but – last couple of years, those games have been, you know, 13-9 and 14-10 and those types of games. Their offense starting to get an identity. That's a Dan Mullen factor. What I like is this rivalry is going to start to really come back. And that's why game day is going down. You know, College game day is going to be down there this week. And it's the first time in like 20 years or something that they've been down there for this game. That's two really good football coaches that I really hope we get back to having this be a big-time rivalry.
Well, you talk to dog fans, well, what's your, you know, is it Auburn, Tech, or Florida? For the most part, they say Florida in terms of, you know, the bigger rivalry game.
Well, you can't call this team over here at North Avenue a rival right now.
Shots fired. And that was, I want the record to show that was not Mark Owens.
No, that was
taking
me.
That unprovoked shot at Georgia Tech.
I'll give you everything you want about Tech you can handle. So.
All right. So do you agree with me that their uniforms are ridiculously boring?
Who?
Georgia Tech.
Oh, Georgia Tech? They ain't got a uniform problem.
Do they have an HC problem?
They got a lot of problems. And their HC is not helping.
I agree. But in terms of, we're talking dogs and we're talking Gators here. Early preview of the cocktail party.
Do you believe that LSU, if they lined up against LSU in the SEC title game, this would be an Auburn scenario where they got whipped by Auburn early in the year last year, come back in and take care of business? Do you think Georgia, you put them on this field right here,
yeah,
and they got LSU on that first Saturday in December, that they beat LSU?
No. I don't feel like – they might, but I'm not really feeling it. LSU looked like the better football team, okay? And I don't think home field advantage had a whole lot to do with that. Do you agree?
I think it always helps there, but yes.
It wasn't at night.
LSU,
the wind wasn't blowing. Yeah, the weather didn't stink. It was a nice sunny day on a football field.
Their record now, and we got our buddy Bo over there, I think I saw their record since 2000. They're 88-11 at night on their home field.
Yeah, the game wasn't at night,
which
was a break for Georgia.
But they do have a lot of star power. But they're still a very average offense. I mean, you saw even
– I think the running game is vastly above average.
Yeah.
Edwards, Hilaire, Brissett, that's two studs in the backfield.
Yeah, but that ain't Fournette and
agreed,
guys like that. I mean,
don't bring up Lenny soft tissue Fortnite. Just don't do that.
That was a pretty good college running back when he played.
When he played. Anyway, I don't get me starting to bang on Lenny Fortnite. But I don't know that the Dogs are a better team than LSU. I really don't. I really don't.
I'd
love to. I'd love to. Oh yeah, neutral field here at the bench. Yeah, it'll be exactly like last year.
I think it's a roll of the dice.
I'm not ready to say that.
I think it's a roll of the dice. I don't think
it's a coin flip game.
Yeah, I don't think LSU is drastically better or anything like that. Let me put it this way: if you're a Georgia fan, would you rather line up against LSU on this field or what they got going on in Tuscaloosa?
Well, I mean that it's obvious you would rather take your chances with LSU. There's not a team in the nation that's going to touch Alabama. Not one. Ohio State might have been able to, but their defense stinks.
Yeah, their secondary
and
stinks.
It, the whole thing, they're not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. Purdue went up and down the field on them. And Purdue has some nice offensive pieces. But if you are a college football playoff caliber defense, you're getting off the field a time or two against Purdue. But they couldn't get off the field against Purdue.
Ohio State's biggest loss that they had was their secondary coach, who has put all those guys in the league. And he's up there with Mike Vrabel up there in Tennessee now. That was a huge loss. Their secondary is a disaster. I mean, Urban's been asked about it all week. They've been shuffling safeties. They can't find the right combination of guys. Their secondary, front four has been good. I mean, their front four has been pretty good. Their secondary has been dreadful. And they don't have all of those NFL guys just running around back there. Everybody's picked them apart.
John, does the Ohio State loss on Saturday night at Purdue open the door a little bit for the Dogs in the college football playoff?
Maybe.
Does it have any trickle-down effect at all on our Georgia Bulldogs?
Maybe. The only shot for two SEC teams is Georgia's got to run the table now. They have to win the SEC title. I don't think there's going to be an at-large bid for a SEC team. Now,
with two losses.
Right. Well, maybe Alabama, if they were 11-1, what would that be? They'd be 12, let's say they're 12-1 and they lose to Georgia. Maybe them, but there is nobody that's going to get I don't think Georgia's going to get enough cachet unless you get another Big Ten team to lose. You get an Oklahoma to lose again. We know the Pac-12 is out of it at this point because Washington State, Oregon, they've all beat each other up now. Ain't happening. But maybe a little bit for Georgia, but they've got to really run the table. There's no way without an SEC title that Georgia's even thinking about playoffs.
That's why that loss to LSU was such a buzzkill. You have no margin for error. You suffer loss number two.
Yep.
See you. Good night.
Bye.
And
yep.
Florida's thinking the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
They still think they can win the SEC East, go to the championship game. Going to be a great game on Saturday afternoon. Falcons fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Mike Conte and Hugh Douglas will preview the Falcons matchup and get you ready for some football. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Our college football cheat sheet is next. We're going to talk more about Michigan beating Michigan State, Ohio State losing, Clemson takes care of business. We take you around college football with all the big games and all the big opinions on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9.
The college football cheat sheet's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. Rick Kamla and John Chuckery coming to you live on a Falcons Monday from the Benz, and it's powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. We're going to recap our picks against the spread later on in the segment. I'm burying it, John, because
oh, is that bad?
I was 4-2 last week, and I'm 1-4 so far going into tonight. I have the over in the Giants and the Falcons. Cool. But brutal. Let's talk what really matters, like what happened on the football field.
Can I ask you a question before you jump in all that?
Yeah, man.
We were just chopping up Jimbo Fisher in between seconds, okay? I'm going to ask you the same question I asked our guys on Saturday when we were doing our college football show. College football game time from 9 to noon on Saturday. Unsponsored, but it's on the station. So, anyway, in 5 years, who's got a better program, Texas A&M or Texas?
Texas A&M.
Okay.
It's not even close. I'm not a Tom Herman guy. Are you a Tom Herman guy?
No.
I'm not a Tom Herman guy. I think he's bells and whistles. I think he's smoke screens and, you know, like the magician with, you know, the sexiest assistant, you know, poof, and, you know, the rabbit out of a hat and all that. I think he's a snake oil salesman.
Too big, too fast.
What's that?
Too big a program, too fast for Tom Herman.
I agree with that. Look, I think he could be a good head coach of Arkansas, of Tennessee. I don't know. But, like, the big boys, I'm not buying it. How do you show up against Maryland like that? Like, all this thrust with your program. You have people talking about Texas being a college football playoff team before the season, and you lay an egg to Maryland?
Back-to-back years.
Are you kidding me?
Rick, that's 2 years
so,
in a row.
So, like, how does that happen?
Do you know the only other in the last 10 years, like, the only other Power 5 program Maryland has two wins against is Texas and Rutgers? That's the only team they've beaten.
That's not good company if you're Texas. But it's Rick Kamla and John Chuckery. He's in for John Michaels, and we're talking about the biggest games over the weekend. I'd love to sit here, you know, just keep it SEC, but we can't, okay?
No,
because the two
happened.
Biggest games last weekend were in the Big Ten. And let's start with a victor, Michigan. John, for some reason, okay, well, Shea Patterson obviously is a big reason why. But
Higdon, too.
But let me get to that in a minute. I thought coming into the season that this was going to be a breakthrough year for Michigan to beat either Michigan State or Ohio State. Now it looks like they might beat them both. You know, Harbaugh 1-5 against those two teams coming into this year. Now he's 2-5 with that win against Michigan State. And to your point, a couple of things. First of all, Michigan's defense, what they did to Michigan State's offense, which, by the way, has a pulse and has some upside. And Lewerke's not a terrible quarterback, and I want you to talk more about that. But I want to make a Caron Higdon point. The Michigan State rushing defense is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's
phenomenal.
It's number one in the nation, by the way.
It was. Yeah. But it was a brick wall for running backs. Like, you'd see good backs have, like, 8 carries for 11 yards, and that was the game.
62 yards a game is what they were giving
and
up.
And so for Caron Higdon to go 33 carries and a buck 44 against the Michigan State defense was huge. And he's really talented back.
And look, Michigan is figuring out on offense. Their offense is starting to get – because their defense was lights out. I mean, they're the number one pass defense in the country, number one or two in total defense. You knew the defense was going to be there. Now the Shea Patterson is starting to figure it out, get comfortable in that offense. They run the football really well. I agree with you. And I say that Michigan right now is the last. And Mike Conte and I argued about this on Twitter this weekend. I don't believe 12-1 Ohio State, even as a Big Ten champion, gets in the playoffs. I think Michigan is the last best hope. If they're 12-1 and their only loss is the opening week against Notre Dame, I think they got the shot to be in the playoffs. I don't think Ohio State can, even at 12-1, I don't think they're making the playoffs this year.
Wow, I completely disagree. Because if Ohio State connects the dots and beats Michigan and then wins the Big Ten against another presumably top 15 team or whatever it would be, you would then be a 12-1 Big Ten champ with one loss on the road at Purdue.
By three touchdowns.
Yeah, I get it, but okay. I think Ohio State's getting in at that point.
So if Oklahoma is 12-1 and their only loss is on a neutral field game against a top 12 Texas Longhorns team.
Give it time. They'll fall out of the top 12.
Okay. They might. I mean, I'm not.
I'm taking Ohio just to advance your question. I know where you're going with this. I'm taking a one loss Ohio State Big Ten champ over a one loss Big 12 champ from Oklahoma all day, like 100 times out of 100. But look, I listen to you guys. I don't know if you listen to me and John. I bang on the Big 12 and the Pac-12 all the time. I think they are fraudulent. I love them in fantasy football, okay, because that's where the points are, but not in reality. To me, the Big 12 or the Pac-12 have to have an undefeated conference champion to make it over a one-loss Clemson or a one-loss Ohio State or a one-loss SEC team. That's just where I'm at with it.
If it was anybody but Oklahoma, I'd agree with you. Oklahoma has that cachet, though. And don't think that
brand name
has value, especially to playoff committees. Brand name has value to it. That's why I think Oklahoma, and I personally, Texas falls into that discussion too. If Texas was 12-1, maybe because of how bad the Maryland loss is, but Texas also has that cachet. But Oklahoma, absolutely, at 12-1, I think would get in over Ohio State.
So, super impressive victory for Clemson. So, they would shed Wake, and we're like, what, 63-3 or whatever it was? Yeah. Oh, it's Wake, though. Yeah. I mean, Wake sucks. You see what Florida State did to Wake last week?
You know,
Francois was amazing.
You went on the road and did what you had
to do. But the Clemson victory over NC State was the aha. Yeah. You have finally arrived and put it all together. The defense was shut down. Lawrence was fantastic. ETN had 3 scores. Like, Clemson is that squad. It's taken them half the year to get here, but they are that squad right now.
No, they are getting back to – and people don't understand this about Dabo Swinney's offense. They want to run the football. When they had Gallman, those guys were 1,500-yard running backs. His identity, even with his great quarterbacks, is they want to run the football. Rick, they're up to like 4th in the country right now running the football. They are getting it done at almost 300 yards a game now. When they get that running game cranked up and make life easier for Lawrence, they've got all the skill position people. We've been waiting for that defense to finally have that, hey, big balls Willie moment. Okay, they've been having it the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks, they flexed their muscles defensively. Yeah, Mon threw for 400, and they did this and did that. Okay, well, now Clemson's defense is catching up to what everybody thought they were going to be. That's bad news for everybody else in the ACC schedule.
To hold Ryan Finley and the NC State offense to 7 points, even at Clemson, is super, super impressive. Yeah. I thought they'd put 3 TDs on the board and maybe lose by 2 touchdowns. 7 points?
Well,
they didn't get their touchdown until the 4th quarter, am I right?
Right. 2 things.
Oh, my God.
NC State is completely one-dimensional. They've been a one-dimensional offense all year long. 2 is their defense has not been challenged by anybody. Remember, they didn't have to play against West Virginia and Will Grier in that team because of the Hurricane. They haven't had a really good offense come up against them. So people were like, they weren't good against the pass. They're okay against the run. But people there thought their numbers were a little bit smoke and mirrors. You saw it on Saturday. They're an okay team.
Did you take John Michaels deep for having NC State like 6th or 7th in his top 10 last week? because they were undefeated.
Did he really have them in the top 10?
Yeah, because they're undefeated. And so he said that, and then he leapfrogs all these teams that are obviously
better. Well, then
better.
What do you have, UCF at three?
He loves UCF, and I don't. But I love me some John Michaels. He'll be back soon on the Midday Show. John Chuckery in his stead. Super quick, Kentucky takes care of business over Vandy. It is now a three-way tie atop the SEC East with Georgia and Florida and Kentucky all at 4-1, all 6-1 overall, and down the stretch we come. Now, grudgingly, I bring in the preacher man. Not grudgingly on the preacher, man, but grudgingly because we got to get to these picks, and they're friggin' embarrassing. I did not do well last week, but preacher man, hit us with the cold hard facts on me, John, and Randy Mack.
All right, cold hard facts in college football. Rick, you took Oregon plus three. John took Oregon plus three, and Randy McMichael took Oregon plus
all
three.
Of us. Yeah, I had Oregon too. So.
And I sent you a nice text after
you
that.
You did.
Just had to let you know.
There was profanity, a logo, and a lot of eating crow by all of us.
All right. You also had LSU minus 6.5, and you had Illinois plus 25. Those were your college picks.
You know what they lost by? I played a little fun against Wisconsin.
29,
thing.
Wasn't it?
It was 29, and yeah. So they almost covered.
Yeah,
But the LSU-Mississippi State thing I thought was a lock.
John had OSU minus 12, LSU minus 6.5. Randy also had South Florida minus 34 and Michigan plus 3. The NFL, you had Eagles minus 4.5, Jags minus 4, and you got the over tonight.
Yep.
John had Miami plus 3, Patriots minus 3, and the Chiefs minus 5.5.
So much for that big Dolphin start, by the way, too.
Randy, of course, had his Rams minus 9, Miami plus 3, and the Cowboys plus 1.5.
All right, man, so that's a little recap of our picks. At the top of the hour, we go around the 404. We're going to dive back into Falcons and Giants, and Trey Young tilted the machine last night in Cleveland. More on that as we continue. Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.